Welcome to the Rebel Room postseason edition. Ryan Green, Case Kiefer, Ray Brewer along with you, dissecting, breaking down the Rebel season. And I think...
In our track jackets.
Yes, in our track jackets. We've got Puma, Nike, and...
Ty Lee Tigre or something? I don't know. It's a tiger.
I don't know.
Some tiger. And it looks real good. But
either way, we're all dressed like complete sports writers today.
We are. And the good news is none of us are receiving
a Nike
on the shoes. None of us are receiving payment from any shoe company to talk about them.
Speak for yourself.
But these Nikes do feel comfortable.
Speak for yourself.
Nonetheless, UNLV season's over. It's been over for a week. We all knew it would be over now. We knew they wouldn't make it to the Sweet 16. But, Ryan, the way it ended, I still think is a little shocking to everybody. They got steamrolled by Illinois.
If you could have seen the looks on the faces of some of the people that were – I felt bad for the UNLV fans who traveled to watch that game. They were it was a dejected look across the court from where I was sitting. And, you know, it's just there's really only so many ways to explain what happened. You know, they were told before the game – you're going to have to play these guys like you played San Diego State in the second half a week earlier in the Mountain West title semis. Going to have to drive at that size, try to draw some contact, try to create space by, you know, penetrating that defense instead of moving the ball around the perimeter and trying to shoot over the length. And what did they do? They moved the ball around the perimeter and tried to shoot over the length. And when the shots aren't falling, which they weren't, it made them look very much like the team they were in the middle of the season when everyone was saying and asking what's wrong.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up what I was going to say. We're calling it the season wrap-up. Well, last time we were in here, we still had the San Diego State box score sitting on the table. We were talking about how it looked like they were peaking, looked like they were really getting some things together. Well, they come into this game, and they don't look like that team at all. They look like the team that, you know, in the middle of the season just couldn't find what was wrong and looked like a NCAA tournament bubble team. I mean, they didn't look like the team that they did maybe down that little winning streak they had, and that's what I took out of it.
Just a week earlier.
Yeah, just a week earlier.
I'd always said that they relied too much on the three, and obviously that's what they did, but I thought one of the big weaknesses all year was the fact they didn't have that guy who could create his own shot. You know, somebody who could take the ball to the rim for a layup, maybe somebody who could pull up and hit a jumper, maybe someone who didn't need to be set around the perimeter to get a perfect pass to make a bucket. And I guess moving forward for me is either somebody on the team is going to have to develop into that guy, maybe Anthony Marshall if he becomes a better shooter, or Lon's going to have to go out and find somebody who could do that. Because I thought that in the losses, you know, the three losses to San Diego State or the losses to BYU, you know, it was real obvious where they needed that. In previous games, they were over to overcome. They had deficiencies, they played great, and they overcame them. It just didn't work out that way this time against Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. Of course, I probably wasn't watching it as close as you two, but, I mean, just everything Illinois seemed to do was working. I knew the McCamey kid was really good and obviously was impressed with him, but, I mean, there had to have been something a little bit more they could do, especially in the first half. I mean, it was just a runaway, kind of embarrassing for the Rebels.
It's really unfortunate that their worst performance of the season came at the worst possible time, and that's basically what happened. You know, and it just opened up a lot of those wounds that had kind of cut, you know, healed some late in the season in asking questions about next year. You know, all of a sudden, there's a lot of people out there saying, well, are there changes that need to be made? Is the talent level where it needs to be for this program to not just be a one weekend and done type of program in the NCAA tournament? There's a lot of questions that were resurfaced with one bad 40-minute performance.
Well, let me ask you then, Ryan, what are the expectations of the program? Is it to get to the tournament? Is it to win a game in the tournament? Is it to win the national championship, which I would assume isn't the expectation anymore? What signals a good year for these guys now? Because I know that before Kruger got here, making the tournament was like, let's get a parade downtown. Now all of a sudden they make it, and they don't win a game, and it's like, oh, we got to make some changes. Well, what are the expectations?
I think fans are completely justified in thinking that this is no longer a program that should just accept getting to the tournament and being out in a weekend. You know, they had that one run in 2007, which was great for the program to get it back on the map, but since then you've been to the tournament three times. and you've gone 1-3 in four games. That's, you know, I think off of 07 with the foundation that you built there, I think that's unacceptable personally. I really thought, and I say that now because I'm one of the people that really thought they were going to be geared for at least a run to the second weekend this year. And then when the seedings came out, I'm thinking, all right, well, they should probably win a game. And if they win a game and lose to Kansas, there's no shame in that. But now, you know, all this does is ramp up the pressure for next season because you're going to still have a very talented team. You lose a couple, you know, one key guy, but you add a guy in Mike Moser who, in my opinion, can make up for that loss. And you've had you have some guys who can fill that leadership void that's going to be left by the graduation of Trevon Willis. I think next year the expectations need to be the Sweet 16.
I would agree, and it's basically going to be the same team this year without Trevon Willis. You'll lose Willis and Jasper, but let's be honest, Jasper's probably lost when he decided not to shoot the ball the rest of his career.
Now his knees only allowed him to do so much down the stretch run of that season. It was really unfortunate, and you know he gave him everything he could, but it was really unfortunate what happened to him, and that was one of the things that kind of led to the demise there in the middle portion of the season.
But I think with, you know, Kendall Wallace will be back, that gives you another threat. Mike Moser, who to me looks like he's the real deal. I mean, he's definitely got the height for it. And from what I saw, the one time I saw him practice, he's real athletic. And, you know, Belfield's going to be a senior. I think he'll be an unquestioned leader. He's real reliable with the ball in his hands. Marshall has shown, you know, signs of being a great player minus his shot. Stanback is, you know, your leading scorer half the year. I think he needs to get a little more aggressive, obviously. And your big guys are only going to get that much more better.
Well, and therein lies the issue with this offseason. You know, the two focuses this offseason, look, they only have one open scholarship spot for next year, and they're probably not going to fill it with a high school player. You know, maybe a JUCO transfer, maybe a D1 transfer from somewhere. But what they need to do is focus on the 2012 recruiting class, obviously, because you have a ton of local talent that you can't afford to miss out on all of it. You have at least four open spots after next season on your roster. What they need to do is focus on that and then also on just development of what they have. You know, you mentioned Chase Stanback, making him putting him in a spot where he can be a little more aggressive off the dribble, maybe by moving him to the three. Mike Moser has the NBA body. He can shoot from the outside, and he can play that four spot probably a little better than Stanback can, even though Stanback might be a little bit better of a defensive rebounder. Belfield, you know, this year was relied on to shoot the ball too much compared to previous years where he was allowed to focus on facilitating. Anthony Marshall needs to continue to work on his shot, and he's probably the most likely guy to take over as the vocal leader for this team. And, you know, you've got a lot of areas where you can, and obviously all three big men can get better. So that's where the focus needs to be this summer. I think you have pieces in place to win with. I really do.
And I would think, Case, that they'd be the preseason one in the Mountain West. Obviously, BYU leaves the league. San Diego State loses, you know, a lot of its power. And New Mexico will be good, but I think UNLV is probably a little better. I'd like to think that they could maybe win the league next year.
I mean, I think just me looking at it right now, I'd probably have UNLV 1, New Mexico 2. And with all the guys you just mentioned off, I really think that next year could be a big year for Quintrell Thomas. I think that really, at least, and I didn't watch him every single game like you guys did, but at least some of the games I saw earlier in the year to later in the year, I mean, he looked like he progressed a ton. I think that's going to be key for him, too. And I think he's a guy that needs to work through some mistakes. I think really could have even had a few more minutes this year, even though it just seemed like he came out of games sometimes really quick. But yeah, to answer your question, I think I'd have UNLV 1. Not stunned if someone overtakes him, but looking at what they have coming back, they got to be the favorite.
I think UNLV and New Mexico right now are going to be 1-1A in either. I think depending on what happens.
Well, you're
going to
have a vote. I mean,
yeah, and honestly, right now, I don't know who I'd vote for. I kind of want to wait and see what happens with this off season. See if New Mexico adds anybody else. You know, see what UNLV does. Maybe they take a JUCO transfer that can help them next year. But you know, I think it's funny you mentioned you guys bring up the conference championship, and that's a big sticking point with the fan base is that. For as solid of ground as this program has been put back on, they haven't won a regular season they haven't won a conference championship, and they really haven't even come that close if you look at it. I think they need to at least be in contention for it next year. And San Diego State's going to be a little down. They're still going to be pretty good. They've got a good class coming in. But outside of UNLV, New Mexico, San Diego State, there's really not much in the league next year. And there's no excuse for them not to be in contention for a league title next year.
I've heard you mention the 1 and 1A quite a few times now, and you said you don't know who you'll vote for, so will you please just put 1 and 1A on the Mountain West ballot so we can confuse the conference? Because I know that's always one of the best things you could do.
With a gun to my head right now, assuming Drew Gordon comes back, and assuming UNLV's roster, as it appears, is going to be intact for next season, I'm going to lean to UNLV only because of the depth. New Mexico has just as good of top-end talent, but UNLV is going to be the deeper team. And again, I really don't see a reason why they shouldn't win a league title next year.
I just think that oftentimes UNLV has problems. I mean, it's tough to win on the road in this league, but for some reason, for me, it seems like UNLV, which is always part of the Big Three, always seems to struggle in gyms it shouldn't struggle in for some odd reason. I don't know what it is or if other teams do it the same way, which I don't think they do, but for some reason, I just think that, and this was an argument a while back, but I always thought that UNLV was lax during league play because they always had the safety net that the league tournament was on its home floor.
Yeah.
I don't know if that theory still holds true, but I always had the feeling that they knew that if, you know, if they were on like a tough week schedule or whatever, that
you can say three games in March.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I could see that. The positive this year is that they really didn't struggle in the gyms that they shouldn't have as much as they have before. You know, the Colorado State game was scary for a while for them, but, you know, they came away and won that pretty easily. You know, New Mexico, good gritty win.
Destroyed TCU.
Destroyed TCU. Colorado State, good win. You know, they you know, Utah, probably the easiest win of the conference season. You know, it's a good sign moving forward, and that's the thing. You're going to have a wealth of experience next year. How does UNLV deal with preseason expectations being probably higher than they've been in 2 or 3 years? Because, you know, my first year on the beat 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, they had high preseason expectations. They were picked, I think they were picked first in the league. You know, Wink Adams was the preseason player of the year, and that team fell flat and wound up losing in the first round of the NIT.
Billy Gillespie, now the coach at Texas Tech. Just thought I'd throw that in
Gillespie.
There.
Gillespie, that's right.
And my question would be, how do they handle expectations? But you would have to think that, you know, how do they handle just getting steamrolled? I know it's a new year and a different team, but you would have to think that they'd want to prove that that wasn't them.
Well, they'll have a chance because they're going to get to play Illinois on December 17th at the United Center in Chicago. So they've got a tough schedule coming up next year. You know, they. The focus that the thing that I'm going to be watching the closest this summer, though, is that 2012 recruiting class. I want to see how that develops. And, you know, I don't think it's out of the question that there's, you know, I think there's going to be conversation about should there be changes on the coaching staff. I'm not one to say whether there should or shouldn't be. But I know that there's, you know, a lot of people wondering that. And that's going to have an effect on the recruiting class this summer. Now, Ray, in case you guys know the local high school talent, better than anyone. You look at let's say the top four guys that are probably on UNLV's radar out of those that group. You probably got to say Shabazz Muhammad, Roscoe Allen, Ben Carter, and Anthony Bennett over at Finley. Which guys do you think they have the best shot at, and which guys now do you? I know Shabazz is like the dream talent for everybody here in town, but which guys should they maybe be focused on the hardest? Do you think they should be pouring a ton of attention into Shabazz? Do you think they should? I mean, I want you guys to set the table here.
Taking into account, I know Ray's going to have a long-winded answer to this because of how much he loves high schools and high school basketball, but taking into account what you've said of who they can get, what it's going to mean to them, I've got three words. Get Ben Carter. That's it. Get Ben Carter. I think
See,
it could be huge
I'm
for
that,
this team.
I'm on that train. I agree. That kid's breaking out, and I think he's going to blow up on the circuit this summer, and if there's any way possible that UNLV can get a commit from that kid before the summer, I think all the better. I don't think they're going to, and from what it sounds like, he doesn't want to do that, but they're probably going to have to recruit that kid harder than anyone this summer.
Well, I always thought that they had a good chance to get Roscoe Allen,
yeah,
who didn't have a great year this year. I mean, let's be honest, Shabazz shot the ball every time he touched it. Shabazz and Roscoe didn't mix well together. So Roscoe kind of had a little bit of a down year. You know, nonetheless, Kansas is interested in him. Some major programs are interested in him. But I thought there was always a feeling that Roscoe was a guy who wanted to stay home, wanted to play in front of his family. So I always thought they could get Roscoe. And I thought – I didn't think Ben would blow up as much as he has so far. So I still think they got a legit chance to get him. And, you know, Shabazz, there's no way he's coming here. And after the way he played in the state tournament and he had a little bit of an attitude toward him, I don't know if he'd be a good fit here for UNLV because he's clearly a guy that's about him, which is okay. The good players have to have a little of that greed in him. But he's a one-and-done, two-and-done at most. And UNLV's not set up for that. They need a guy who's going to be a program guy for 4 years that's going to continue to grow, that's going to wait their time. And Boz is going to want the ball, you know, as soon as he gets off the bus there for freshman orientation.
Now let me play devil's advocate here because, for this fan base, it's clamoring to be a national name again and be someone that people around the country are talking about. Do you think he's attractive? He's a good thing for UNLV in that regard? Because, I mean, you know, we've talked in the past how he's shown a little bit of a want to be the hometown hero. You know, he's shown flashes of that in the past. We don't know if that's still the case because a lot's changed in the last year. But, you know, do you think there's any way that – I mean, you're right. He's going to be a guy who's going to get off the bus and demand the ball. But, you know, is that maybe a sacrifice UNLV should be looking to make right now?
Well, UNLV definitely needs to say it could recruit a top-notch guy, a top 20 guy.
Get a kid in the McDonald's game.
Yeah, which Tark couldn't even have a guy in the McDonald's game.
Yeah.
But even I would think if they got Muhammad, everybody would say, well, Boz just went there because he's from Vegas.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't like, you know, Long going to L.A. and getting a top 20 guy out of L.A. to come in. Because, you know, Shabazz stayed home because he played in Vegas. I'd love to see all three of them go. And, you know, because Gorman's going to be a top 10 program next year, high school. They're going to be on ESPN a lot. And why don't we call it the Fab Three and have those guys go over and just dominate UNLV, right, Case?
I guess. I don't know. From seeing them play together, I don't know if you want Shabazz and Roscoe together in college. I kind of got a feeling they won't play together. I mean, of course, though, if you can get all three, you're going to take them. But I don't think that's going to happen where all three of them play together. I also don't really like the name Fab Three. I think we need a T, like Triumphant Three or something like
better
that.
Better than that.
But the last thing I want to say is this is no fun anymore. Shabazz has one bad game, shows one little temper, and now Ray's off his bandwagon and agrees with me and Green that they
Williams
should rather have Roscoe Allen.
Roy Williams was sitting next to us.
Yeah,
he left at halftime.
I'm just saying it's not as much fun now that you agree with me that Roscoe Allen would be a better fit.
Here's the question. You have a chance to get Shabazz Muhammad for 2 years or Roscoe Allen / Ben Carter for 4 years. What do you want?
I'll let you go first.
I'd take Shabazz, even though I think his attitude is piss poor. And you just can't. You need.
You're ready to adopt the kid a year ago.
Here's the deal. Law needs to get one of the three, bottom line.
Yeah.
They're in your backyard. You can't get out recruited. Put a fence up, baby, and go and get him. And you need to prove to yourself that you could recruit a big guy. If the program truly is going to take that next step back into national prominence, because right now it's a good little regional school, goes to the tournament, wins a game every 4 years, plays on the mountain.
Oh,
you
we're
know.
Getting fired up now.
They've got some Yahoo that goes out in between timeouts and gives out sub sandwiches. This is not big-time basketball, if you know what I'm saying. If you bring in a guy like Shabazz, now it's like, okay, the Nikes start looking a little better on your feet than before. Maybe you get a game on CBS once a year or something.
True. Here's my question. And for one thing, Shabazz has always kind of struck me as an Adidas guy. But we'll I'll go ahead and ask, does this mean Ben Carter and Roscoe Allen both for 4 years versus Shabazz for two, or just one of the two for 4 years?
All right, let's say one of the two.
See, now, to me, this is an easy answer when you say Shabazz 1 year or one of those two for 4 years. I definitely take the 4 years, but maybe Shabazz for two, that might switch me, because looking at how good this kid can already be, I think 1 year, I don't think you want him for 1 year, but 2 years, I mean, the second year he could be there, sky really is the limit. I mean, they could be a huge seed if they keep the talent around him. They could be, I'd say maybe taking Shabazz. If it's 2 years, Shabazz.
Both of those guys, Allen and Carter, they're going to have to put some muscle on. They're both skinny as spaghetti.
Well, that's fine. They're 17.
Yeah, they are 17. But by no, Shabazz is a good kid who's going to come in right away, get off the bus, and take you to the tournament. Carter and Allen, they're going to have to get in the weight room. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be a quick fix. You know, so they're going to have these young guys on the roster. Then the Dantley Walker kid's going to come in, another skinny guy who hasn't played at a high level at all.
Maybe Nigel,
which now all of a sudden went from a good thing to now maybe, right?
What? You got something for us?
I don't have anything. You said maybe.
No.
He's
not signed, and I only say maybe because I will never consider a kid who's a sophomore in high school committing a sure thing until his name is on paper. Or until you're at least a few months out.
I agree with you.
That's why I say maybe. Wow, you almost threw a wrench there.
Well, I mean,
you probably just caused some of our listeners to have heart attacks.
No, because the Finley program's nice, and by no means is the Finley program designed to bring UNLV kids to UNLV. But you got to get more than what you've gotten out of there. And I think Nigel is, you know, Cliff Finley, the biggest booster for UNLV, funds this thing. Get somebody that can dribble the ball, not some big guy from a foreign country that can't dunk or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's what,
the opinions of Ray Brewer reflect this podcast.
And I've been pro and I've been pro Bryce since day one to a fault, right? Agreed. Dude, you agree with me?
Agreed.
He's got to develop, baby, into something. That's why they need to get somebody out of there. Anthony Bennett, if they could get Anthony Bennett and Ben Carter.
That's pretty good.
With Nigel, now you're talking. We got a good little team.
Yeah, I agree with
Karam will be a senior. By then, we assume he'll be able to play.
If he's still here.
Yeah, well, if he's not in some pro league in Israel, we would assume he's able to play defense by then, right?
Yeah.
And then now you got something brewing. And I think everybody forgets, Kruger can develop players. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know why some of the big men haven't developed like Anthony and Edmondson did, but eventually, their good coaching has to take over, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it took 22 minutes, but we finally have some emotion in this podcast, courtesy of Raymond Brewer. Thank you.
Goodness. We're starting off like a fashion show.
we've got nowhere better to end it. That was beautiful.
Yes. I just want to promo our radio show on KUNV, Mondays at 5:30.
What station is that on your dial?
91.5. We're FM. After some great jazz show. So if you guys want more Rebel Room talk, during the off season, check us out on Mondays.
Shout out to Ginger.
And we'll check out with you back here at LasVegasSun.com/Rebels at some point.
Shout out to Ginger.